Hey, it's 6:02. Good morning, everybody. Friday, best day of the week, in my opinion. Get ready. You better be ready. You might be recovering from the very first day of the International Sportsman's Expo out at Cal Expo through Sunday. I hear laughing, and it sounds sort of Midwestern and Southern. Is that Katie Christensen in Memphis?
Good morning.
How are you? You feeling any better? Be honest.
Oh, I just feel fantastic,
That's
fellas.
A no.
Just lovely.
You look. I've got video of you, and I can share it. You look fine. You look a lot better. You look better than you did the other night.
Well, that's nice. Yeah. That's nice, because after I talked to you after the game the other night, you said, you know what? I'm not trying to be an ass, but I've never seen you look so bad on TV.
Yeah, I mean, like a whole because she looks better now than she did the other night.
Yeah,
but when she was on TV.
Yes.
Right now it's 6 o'clock in the morning.
Well, I mean, I also have I'm biased, and this is a longstanding thing with she and I. I get that when you go on TV, you have to look a certain way as far as makeup and stuff. You know, whether you're a guy or a girl, it just shine and HD and all that. I think Katie looks better without makeup than with makeup, which is a rarity.
Oh, shut up!
I really do. No, I'm not even trying to compliment her. I swear to God,
you look so pretty, sweetie.
No,
makeup.
I said I think she looks better without makeup. I believe that.
Nate, I love you.
Same thing with my wife. My wife can wear lip gloss and she has to like paint in her eyebrows a little bit because she's blonde.
And that's that old Catholic lady thing going on. When, I say that is. Someone that grew up
with an old Catholic lady. When she dolls herself up, I'm talking about my wife or Katie. I don't know. Just so, anyways, she was sick. She's been sick. Katie's been very sick, and she hides it well. I didn't say you. What did I say? What'd you say? I said that you look terrible or worse than you've ever looked.
You said I've never seen you look this bad on TV before.
That is an inaccurate quote. That is an
inaccurate
quote.
That is not an inaccurate
quote. That's a good quote.
I said, and I quote, "You looked like hot garbage." That is what I said. Correct or incorrect? That was the quote I used.
All right.
She just looked really, and I didn't mean like not attractive hot garbage. I meant she looked like she felt like. Hot guard. She looked sick. Like she's been sick, but you can't, who's going to fill in for you, Jerry? Who would fill in for
that
you on the
side? That would be hilarious.
I agree.
If especially if they're just like, let's have fun with it. Jerry, you're on your own. We're not telling you anything. You just figure it out, pal.
Who would fill in
for
you?
Yeah. Nobody would fill in for me.
They just wouldn't have sidelines?
Yeah.
They'd have to have somebody fill in for it, wouldn't
sounds
they?
Sounds like a vital job.
No.
Wow. I know, right? Well, if I'm not there, it doesn't
happen. I've missed before. Well, it's kind of like when I didn't travel on for every game in the past.
That's true.
But I do. It changes our broadcast. It changes how they produce it and everything. So it's, it sucks on that end.
44-11-40, our first text, second text of the day is Monday is the best day of the week. Well, that's congratulations. That's the first time I've ever heard that in my life.
Yeah, boo.
I know, right?
You stink.
I would say day rankings. In order.
Is this somebody that works like Wednesday through Sunday?
That's the thing. That's the only thing I can think of. If you have the day, if you work a different level. If you work a normal Monday through Friday, then for me, Friday is number one, Saturday number two, Sunday number three, Wednesday, Thursday, Tuesday, Monday. That's how I would rank the weeks.
I put Thursday before Wednesday, but other than that.
Because it's closer to Friday?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I only put, there's an argument there.
You leave work Wednesday, it's like, all right, dude, I'm good for a day, and then it's Friday.
Yeah, you know what, there's an argument there. I was thinking Wednesday because it's the hump day, and you're like, oh, okay, now I'm getting into weekend mode. But you're right, Thursday is closer to Saturday than Wednesday is. So you have,
goodness.
Friday's the best day. Friday's bad because you have Friday when everyone gets off work, you have 2 days. You have tonight to do whatever the hell you want, and then you have 2 days to recover from. Or in Nate's case, continue it until Sunday. And then Sunday's laundry and shopping. And
Sunday, if it wasn't for the fact that Sunday actually is a day off, it would not be ranked that highly for me because it's mostly a miserable day.
I completely agree.
The shadowy death of the work week is imminent.
Yep. I
agree. Are you guys done commiserating and how awful it is to
be alive?
I'm just trying to distract Nate.
Because I just want to make something clear here. There is no such thing as a weekend for me. There's no such thing as like, oh, yeah, today's a day off. So you know what? You guys just need to quit your complaining and be happy.
I don't get a day off.
Hey, I'm not complaining about it.
No, you're not.
I'm not complaining about it. Uh-uh. I'm just saying you two need to quit complaining about your situation.
Uh-huh. From the 916. Dave, it's borderline awkward how you flirt with Katie all the time. Well, what did I miss? It's saying she looks
I agree, Dave. Saying, it is awkward.
Saying you look like you felt like hot garbage the other night, that's a flirt?
I think it was more about the makeup line. I think you're underestimating like exactly how weird and creepy that sounds.
I want to explore this now because I'm completely missing it. I really do want to explore this. So you can't say, I mean, you can say, but... So you can't say somebody, you don't, do you or do you not believe
if
that?
If that's flirting, then that's like saying that if my dad or my brother says the same thing, it's flirting. It's just, yeah, you just don't prefer me with makeup. Most people don't.
I mean, call me like a sexist or something there, or like, well, why are you even talking about her makeup, Dave? Why should that matter? It's the content of her character. Her, like, at that point, I can at least understand.
No, I mean, it's kind of like, and, you know, whatever, but it's kind of like the whole, hey, you're prettier when you smile type of thing. Like, you know, hey, smile more, sweetie.
Well,
like, it's kind of along the same type
you
of.
You think that is?
A little bit.
Maybe it's just a thing with me
like,
then
what,
because
like, okay, why man, I don't want to get like
no,
actually
it's,
serious
it's
on this
okay.
because like you know
it's
I'm
okay.
kind of saying this tongue in cheek, but like you know why do you think it matters to her what you
oh,
think
I don't
she
think
looks
it does.
Like
oh,
with makeup?
Oh, I don't think it does at all. But she'll say stuff to me all the time about something I'm wearing, or I mean, just as friends do. What are the shoes or that thing or that?
Because you're indirectly placing the standard. I think you look good without makeup on. That's what I think.
But I do. I think, and I would say that to my wife or my sister, my mother. I mean, which I do actually. I think there are some people. And I don't mean to make this about women, but let's be honest, guys don't wear makeup, so we're talking about makeup. I think that there are some women that look better without makeup. I think there are some women that put way too much makeup on.
Well, that's
and
true.
I think there's some women that put makeup.
It's one thing to see a pretty woman without makeup and say, "Hey, you look really pretty," as opposed to being like,
"You look better without makeup."
To just simply say, "I think you look better without makeup," or "I think you look good without makeup."
Yeah, I guess I just don't even think. I don't even think of it as a danger zone. I just
like
comment.
I know.
Dave, we've had this conversation too. There are some people that you never see without makeup, and then when you see them without makeup,
yes.
You're like, oh God, there's a reason.
Correct.
Like if you
so
like if
it's
you
okay.
Like,
I don't take it as a bad thing.
If you like the shirt she's wearing, like the blouse. It's probably a blouse, right? If you're wearing it on TV,
right. She's a girl.
Like, yeah. Like if you like the blouse she's wearing on TV, right? Like or maybe you don't like it. Maybe you think of one that you like better. Like would you say to her, "Hey, I really like that other shirt you were wearing the other night."
Yes.
No. He has said like I didn't like what you were wearing at all.
Yeah. And the thing is also I've told Grant before. I've been like, dude, that suit was awesome. That was a rad suit. Where'd you get it? Be like, oh, I got it somewhere in Hong Kong, usually, is where he got it from. Or vice versa. Like, they'll say something about my floppy, sloppy appearance or whatever. In this case, most cases, it's complimentary. Figure, I'm her friend, and I watch her, and we talk a lot of times about what she does. But I'm not.
But it'll be like, oh, Melissa, and I did not like that jacket you were wearing.
Or
like,
but let's be fair.
I'm talking more about the like you see her at the arena, okay?
Yes.
And rather than saying something like, "Hey, you look good," or "I like that outfit,"
yes.
You say, "I like that outfit you were wearing on Tuesday."
No, he doesn't do that.
You looked better. You looked better in that.
Let Mama wear what she wants.
Yeah, I would never do that. I don't do that in the moment. Like that's the batter's box thing. I would.
That was Brian Jones.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I got to go home and think about this now later today. It's going to bother me the entire show. Like, I wouldn't go up to somebody on the street or somebody, for example, I wouldn't go to some coworker.
Why so much makeup, sweetie? Say,
right, exactly. We'd never do that. I guess I know this ding-dong too well where I don't even consider it a deal.
Like, he doesn't consider me a normal person, yeah.
Yeah, I don't. From the 916, well, Dave, I find it awkward the way you flirt with Nate and his sexy chest hairs.
Yeah.
Hey, listen. you haven't seen a sexy chest hairs before, you haven't lived.
Just a little bear rug over here.
But I think you look better without chest hair. I'm just saying, some people pull that off. Let's see, what's going on today? Anything interesting happening in the world? Oh, yes. You will have a new president in a little under 3 hours, according to the countdown. We're going to have a little fun with this today. We're going to... Well, I'll explain it when we get back, actually. I don't want to get into it with a 30 seconds left. We're going to have a little bit of fun and tie this into the sporty sports world. We got Chris Landry, Darren Collison, and Sam Amick coming on all between 7:30 and 8:30. So we're packed there because Championship Sunday is, well, in 2 days. Coming up next, we'll tell you the big three things we're talking about today on The Drive. Morning Brew next. Sports 1140 KHDK. It's here, guys. Championship Sunday, one of the best, in my opinion, sports days of the entire year. Not one, but two little mini Super Bowls. We find out and get ready for all the hype of Super Bowl, who's going to face off against who. And in this case, I think it's extra special. The right teams are there. The right teams are there, guys, with the right quarterbacks.
The right teams.
You know, it's and I use right, I should say, in quotation marks, right teams. You've got four teams. And I, honest to God, could see any one of these teams, Katie, in the Super Bowl. I have no problems believing even Atlanta could be in the Super Bowl.
I know. I think it's, you know, the funny thing is to me, you guys, the one team that I don't really feel has a shot is really just the Steelers, because I know that they're a great team and they have a great defense and all of these things. Right. But, and you don't want to underestimate Ben Roethlisberger, but I just don't see them making it past New England. However, I can concede that the Packers Falcons game can go either way.
I've got a bit of an NFL complaint. Would you guys consider Aaron Rodgers to be like an interesting personality?
To be what?
To be an interesting personality in the realm of sports.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, I mean, because I think he could kind of sit on the fence with that, and he's not exactly an energetic guy. But my point is, he's easily the most charismatic quarterback left, and maybe the most charismatic player. No, Antonio Brown for the Steelers, right? But I mean, other than that, he's easily the most charismatic quarterback that's left. Like, that's kind of my NFL problem right now, is that Aaron Rodgers looks like an interesting person in comparison, only because he's willing to say he has confidence in his team.
I was going to say, I would amend that. I think he is the most charismatic person left, in the sense that he allows his charisma to shine through. I think Tom Brady's incredibly charismatic. I think when he is loose, he can be very...
When he's an actual person.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But he has been a robot now for a long, long time, made by Cybertronics 3000, and does not allow that through. And yeah, Aaron Rodgers, even the developing stuff that you see off the sidelines, like his dad, it's confirmed now that they don't talk anymore, and he's ditched his family, and that came. Katie, what's it? You'll know the Bachelor or whatever the hell his brother was on where it first came out. Basically, he ran off with Olivia Munn. And did his thing. So, anyways, yes, I agree with you. It's going to be a fascinating group of games. And, man, Aaron Rodgers is on fire right now.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm not hearing anything. But the NBA All-Star starters have been announced, which is kind of a great thing, because now we have something to talk about, well, more complain about. The Western Conference All-Star starters are Stephen Curry, James Harden, Kawhi Leonard, Kevin Durant, Anthony Davis, one big name left off that list. And the Eastern Conference All-Star starters are Kyrie Irving, DeMar DeRozan, LeBron James.
All right, let's kill off her microphone, Matt, would you? She was in the middle of it. We're having, you know, she's in Memphis. We got rain right now. As you know, when Katie is traveling, she has to use a little tin can and a string, apparently. And it gets annoying for everyone, mainly you, the listener. So we'll take over here while she figures out her connection. So the All-Star starters are named. Somebody just asked on the text line, please help me out. If Westbrook is first with players and media, third with fans, well, Curry is first with fans, but third with players and media, how is there a need for a tiebreaker? And they're going on a waiting system. Well, in the event of a tie, as I understand it, the fan vote takes precedence.
50% for fan vote, 25% player vote, 25% media.
So should, and I feel like we can hear Katie now. Katie, should Russell Westbrook be starting the All-Star game? Yes or
this
no?
This has been something that the fans... No!
Okay.
I mean, no! What? The fans didn't vote him in. This has even been a change in the voting. The fact that the players didn't even vote him in with 25% of the vote. Come on now. This is all-star starters, unless they completely changed the format.
I mean, that's like the only argument is that he literally didn't win the vote. But statistically, yeah, he should be. He's one of two MVP candidates right now. It's him and James Harden. But this is the best possible thing that could happen to us. Because now Russell Westbrook, first off, he's still going to be in the all-star game. And he's going to go absolutely nuts. And for the rest of the year, Russell Westbrook is not going to meet a shot he didn't like. This is best case scenario for an NBA fan. Russ with a vengeance times two.
I think we all agree that it really doesn't matter. But since we're talking about it in hot take cannoning, you're averaging a triple-double in late January. You're averaging a triple-double in late January.
Kind of a big deal.
You don't have, by the way, Kevin Durant. You don't have Draymond Green. You don't have Klay Thompson. Hell, you don't have Zaza Pachulia surrounding you.
How the hell are you guys so crazy?
How are you not starting when you're averaging a triple double and your team is somehow miraculously over 500?
Okay, I want to break something down to you guys.
Break it down.
Yes, his stats are crazy. Averaging a triple double is not an easy feat. This man is one of the most inefficient players that the NBA has ever seen. Though, you guys, he averages on his career 43% from the field and 30% from three-point range. He is one of the most high-volume, inefficient players that have ever played from the field. He puts up ridiculous stats because he has...
Sorry, got to kill Katie.
He's got a PER of nearly 30 this year, which is phenomenal.
Katie, I'm looking at you. I know you can hear me. I'm just going to tell you, let me stress, this isn't Katie's fault. We're going to knock this out in the 6:30 because it's making me almost go into a mental seizure right now. Much like I can't. It sounds like Katie is literally trapped in the Matrix and figuring it out. See if you can reconnect with Matt. If you can't reconnect with Matt, we'll see you Monday. Thank you, Katie Christensen, everybody. Now it's just you and me.
Now it's just you and me.
We tried to hook
all
up
because
with
of a bad Russell Westbrook opinion, huh?
Yeah, we'll get into more of that here in a little bit.
The Raiders officially filed for relocation. A surprise to no one. But I think the most bizarre part about this is that still looking at 2 years as a lame duck in Oakland.
And I'm trying to think. I'm thinking through. You know, the Rams moved. The Chargers moved. What are some other moves? You had the Raiders originally when they moved from
St. Louis.
No, from Oakland to LA, LA to Oakland.
The Cardinals were in St. Louis and moved to Arizona.
I'm trying to remember a team that relocated while they were having a playoff run.
I couldn't tell you.
Well,
okay, when the Colts left Baltimore, they were maybe the most prominent franchise in the league at that point.
So what you've got here is you have not only a team that's going to play for 2 years, at least 2 years in Oakland is how it was put, but I brought this up before. You're not smoking meth if you say there's a possibility they could win the Super Bowl in the next 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So this is completely unprecedented.
This is crazy.
You've got Raider fans that are going to be asked to fill that place, knowing that their team is leaving, but how are you going to stay away if you're a Raider fan because you've sucked for so long and now they're so good?
I don't know how you do it.
I don't know how you do it either.
But at least it's Vegas and they're not going to L.A.
Great point right there.
I don't know. I mean, if you're a Raiders fan, do you just say, hey, it's still my team. They're going to stay that way when they move to Las Vegas?
That's what I think a lot of people have been saying. It's 8 games a year. At 7 a.m., we'll get into this quite a bit more in detail. Also, coming up next, it's championship weekend. Let's do this. Green Bay, Atlanta, Pittsburgh, and New England. We'll give you our picks later on in the program during 4-down territory, but we'll break everything down next on The Drive. Don't go away. Back in 3. Sports 1140 KHDK. That is sound from both teams, Packers and Falcons. 12:10 is your kickoff. And, of course, everything right here on Sports 1140 KHDK. Check that 12:05. It's 5 minutes difference. I'll bet you it is 12:10 more than 12:05.
Probably closer.
And then later that day, Steelers at Patriots. We're trying to effort Katie. We may not get that. We had some tech difficulties, so I'm leaning towards we probably won't have Katie back the rest of the show. So it's you and me once again, Nate, which is just horrible for the listeners.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you this. I am wavering on my picks I am. And it's not just the normal, like, talk yourself into it throughout the week because everybody's hyping up the other side and wanting to make it. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm really starting to waver on my – I was sure who I thought was going to be in the Super Bowl on Monday. I was.
And who was it?
It was Green Bay and New England.
Okay.
That's and so part of me is like, dude, stick with your gut. Don't be stupid. Yeah. Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers. But I'm starting – here's some thoughts that are starting to creep in. Okay. The Steelers have Le'Veon Bell, Ben Roethlisberger, and Antonio Brown. Mm-hmm. And I would say their defense and the Patriots' defense matches up pretty decently. Not that they, you know, match up with each other, but you get my drift.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just trying to play out in my head a scenario where I can see Tom Brady on his ass a few times. But more importantly, the Patriots not being able to consistently stop the Steelers coming down the field.
I mean, they only scored 18 against the Chiefs.
But the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Are a really good defense. And not that the Patriots are a crappy defense. I think the Chiefs are a better D.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the other end, I'm going, man, the Packers. You know, they had to go through the first round, do their thing. Then they had that barn burner with Dallas on the road. Now you're asking them to go into Atlanta. Now, granted, it's a dome, but you're asking them to, which, as was Dallas, but you're not worried about the elements, I should say, yeah, with Aaron Rodgers. You're asking them to go into Atlanta, and we're discounting Atlanta maybe for many reasons because of history, but they have the NFL sack leader who plays like four downs a game on their defense. Atlanta does. They have the probable MVP of the league. They have a two-headed giant at running back, and they have one of the NFL's best receivers in Julio Jones. Maybe I'm just buying too much into the Aaron Rodgers hype and not thinking that, wow, the Atlanta Falcons are a really, really good team.
I think you're thinking too much is what you're
doing. Probably right.
I mean, it's because I've got Patriots and Packers. I think the burden of proof is on Atlanta. Even if they are at home, you know, I think back to how many games has Aaron Rodgers won in that situation where you take him out of the elements? And I mean, you remember a couple of, I think it was on their Super Bowl run when they beat the Cardinals in Arizona. What was it 51-48 or some ridiculous score like that? If you're giving me a shootout, which that game's going to be, I'm taking Aaron Rodgers.
Let's hear from the Steelers and Patriots.
Boom.
So then reality sets in, and I look at the numbers, and I go, well, you know, I think the Patriots defense and the Pittsburgh defense, kind of, you know, pretty comparable. Well, until I look at the 191-point differential that the Patriots have had this year, until I look at the fact that the Patriots gave up 250 points while scoring 441, whereas the Steelers scored 399, that's damn good, but gave up 327, mm-hmm. and they're in Foxborough, and it's, I'm sure, going to be cold, and the crowd's going to be insane. So, yes, maybe I am overthinking it, and it's okay to just sit here and go, the Patriots are going to roll through everybody.
And it's going to be cold. It's going to be windy. There's going to be issues with the headset because there's always communication problems in a championship game, especially if Pittsburgh's involved. I mean, I think you can probably count on nefarious things happening. I'll say it. I'm not scared. The Patriots are cheaters. I think we can all agree on that at this point. The other part, too, would be that I think LeGarrette Blount's going to have a big game. I think that they're going to be able to be effective on the ground. And I see this being close for about 2.5 quarters.
There might be something to the fact, maybe that's what's creeping into my head, is that I feel like this Patriots team is more, is out of all the Patriots teams, this one's about the closest it's celebrated, let me spit it out, to when they finished the season 16-0. And nobody could imagine the Patriots losing. They could not imagine it. I feel like the Patriots are better when they're ranked closer to their competition. For example, I thought Seattle was going to beat them in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
I did. I really, honest to God, did. And
you're right. They've always been more successful when they haven't been the team to beat. And
exactly.
Like, to some degree, they always are the team to beat, but I get what you're saying.
So I wonder in this case, and maybe it's not going to be Pittsburgh. Maybe it'll be Green Bay or Atlanta. That's the thing. That's what drives me into the ground. Or maybe they're just a really good team that is going to finish this year with two freaking losses. And I'm not even accounting for the fact that for a quarter of the season, they didn't have arguably the greatest quarterback of all time, and they're still 14-2.
Yeah, I'm leaning more and more towards this just being Aaron Rodgers' year. I think this is when he gets his second and cements himself.
Well, one of the things that's amazing about this Championship Sunday and the Patriots-Steelers matchup as well is that the Patriots and Steelers have both won a combined 14 games in a row. They've both won 7 in a row. You want to talk about two teams
streaking
that are on an absolute collision course streak with each other. And then when you look at the other side, excuse me, that's 14 in a row. I'm not counting the playoffs, by the way. I'm just talking regular season. So hold on. The Steelers have had two games. So that's 16. The Patriots won. That's 17 in a row, I think, between the two of them. Am I correct? Okay, so 17 in a row between the two of them. And then you've got the Green Bay Packers, who finished the regular season at 6 in a row. They've now played two games. That's 8 in a row. Facing off with the Atlanta Falcons, who've won 5 in a row. So that's 13 in a row. You're talking about the four teams have won a combined 30 games in a row. Has that ever even – I mean, we talked about quarterbacks yesterday, and this might be the greatest quarterback matchup ever. Have we ever had a championship Sunday where all four teams were on a minimum five-game winning streak? And that's the Falcons. 30 games in a row combined? Ugh. It's going to be fun, man. It's going to be fun. I'm very excited for this. We'll talk about that later. 7-17, four down territory, where we'll actually give our picks. Coming up next, the NBA All-Star starters were announced. And Nate said, when I was on the phone with Katie, he said the Russell Westbrook takes the dumbest take she's ever had, or might have been, and she wasn't even there to defend herself. And I covered with you, and I was like, he knew you were on the phone. But Nate didn't know she was on the phone. We're back in 3 minutes. We'll talk about this next on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK. Welcome back. Couple of reminders here. Chris Landry at 7:30, four down territory at 7:17, where we will make our selections for this Sunday. Also, we'll talk in 15 minutes about the Raiders filing officially for relocation to Las Vegas. 6:48. Time to get ready for the International Sportsman's Expo. You better be ready by now. Just go. You're ready. You've prepared. You've thought about it. Just get out there. Cal Expo now through Sunday. So the All-Star voting is in, Nate, and we at least know who the starters are. And let's just say from the beginning, we all acknowledge that way too much is made about this. But we're sports fans, and so we're going to talk about stupid stuff. Like, I get it. The All-Star, who cares about the All-Star starters, right? Like,
Russell Westbrook cares.
You know what he should.
I bet DeMarcus Cousins cares.
You know what he should. Well, maybe he shouldn't so much. The All-Star starters are in Kyrie Irving and LeBron James, Jimmy Butler, Giannis Antetokounmpo, I love that, and DeMar DeRozan of the Raptors. Over in the West, you've got Steph Curry and James Harden, Kevin Durant, Kawhi Leonard, and Anthony Davis. Before we get into that, let's just remind everybody that the way the voting worked this year, the fans get 50% of the vote, the media gets 25%, the players get 25%. I have in front of me the player voting, and I would like to submit that I hope this becomes a collector's item, because it was the only year the players were ever allowed to vote, because it's just flat ridiculous. Amongst people that received votes to start in the All-Star game this year, Nate, have you looked at this at all?
I've seen a couple of the names.
Okay. Ish Smith got one vote.
All right.
Mo Williams got a vote.
Hell yeah, Mo.
DeAndre Liggins. Hey, you know what's
that
kind
guy.
Of what's kind of funny is Rajon Rondo only got one vote, which I'm not saying he deserves to start the All-Star game, but if when looking at some of these other scrubs that got votes, you'd think Rajon Rondo would have gotten like five or something. TJ McConnell got four votes.
Hell yeah. I mean, he's probably the best player on the Sixers. Or if you read Philly sports media, the best player on the Sixers is Ersan Ilyasova. So, best Sixer since Thaddeus Young.
He's damned good. I mean, let's be honest. He's damned good. let's see. To start the All-Star game, that's...
I know you had votes for Bryce Johnson and Quincy Pondexter, neither of which have played this year.
Yes, and one... God, I forget who it was, but somebody has not ever played. Somebody voted has never played an NBA game. Garrett Temple got a vote. Let's just go with some Sacramento Kings
here.
Ben McLemore got a vote.
Wait, really?
Yeah, Ben McLemore got a vote.
Are you allowed to vote for yourself?
That is what I'm leaning towards. That's where I'm going with all this. I'm pretty sure that you can vote for yourself.
I mean, this shows you exactly how seriously the players take this.
Darren Collison got a vote. We're going to have Darren Collison on at 8 o'clock, and I'm going to ask him if you're allowed to vote for yourself. I want to know, and I'll bet you can. no offense to Darren or Ben or any of those guys, but nobody in their right minds can think that when Russell Westbrook isn't starting the All-Star game, that Ben McLemore or Garrett Temple or Darren Collison should. There's no case to be made. Less turnovers, I guess? Maybe not. I think actually, geez, did every single Kings player get a vote? Because I'm looking right now. So Darren Collison got a vote. I missed. Willie Cauley-Stein got
damn
a
right.
vote.
You're damn right he did.
Yorgos Papagiannis got a vote to start the All-Star game. Now, I wonder if he even gets a vote. Like, do you have to be in for a certain amount of time? Matt Barnes, he got a vote. Rudy Gay got two votes.
Oh.
Okay, so Rudy, if Rudy voted for himself, somebody else voted him in, or tried to vote him in, that is. Kevin Durant got 170 votes from players. Kawhi Leonard, 119. Anthony Davis was third at 105, and DeMarcus Cousins was fourth at 100. According to the players, there are three better front court players than DeMarcus Cousins, and one center that is better than DeMarcus Cousins, and that is Anthony Davis. If you go over to the east side, remember, DeMarcus Cousins got 100 votes. There were only two players that topped 100 votes, at least in the and that's LeBron James and Giannis Antetokounmpo, also Kyrie Irving in there as well. On the ESPN page, where they're breaking everything down, and I don't know if they did this on purpose or not, but they're, Kevin Pelton writes an article about the All-Star reserves. Mm-hmm. And have you seen the picture they used for the All-Star reserves?
No.
And who they think they should be in?
Yeah.
DeMarcus Cousins and Isaiah Thomas. It's a split screen with those two guys, which is just, it's just another knife in the back of Kings fans, because the big picture on the front page is, you know, a current King and a former King.
The always forgotten franchise.
I don't know how you fix it. On one hand, I go, this is an outrage, scandal. And then I go, well, why don't you just let the fans?
It's an exhibition game.
It's an exhibition game.
And I mean, it's not like, first off, no matter how the teams are chosen, there's always going to be a quote-unquote snub or
sure.
two on each side, you know, depending on, you know, who's offended for who, whatever it might be. Largely, man, all right people are going to get into the game. Those dudes are going to get an appearance, and we're going to get to watch a bunch of dudes dunk on each other for 48 minutes. Awesome.
Katie can't join us normally because her equipment is all jacked up, and that's not a euphemism. So, but she is, because she's a dutiful person listening on the phone. So I want to bring her in real quick, because Nate said, when he didn't know I was on the phone with her, it's not his fault. This is kind of like an Antonio
sure
Brown
is.
Thing where I violated your privacy. You saw it was just the two of us. But Nate said that the Russell Westbrook take was a really dumb take from Katie Christensen, and I didn't want us both to slam her around without at least having her on the line. Hi, Katie.
Oh, hi.
Hey.
I didn't know you were going to bring me in. I was just listening to you two morons, which when I'm listening just as like a listener, I'm wondering why people listen to our show.
Hey, thanks a lot, everybody. Katie Christensen, that's a good point right there. Katie, I mean, it was a cute take that you had, how Russell Westbrook, you know, doesn't belong there. But let's be honest, it's not how you really feel.
Oh, no, I'm not. My point wasn't that he doesn't belong there. My point is that people get all butthurt about, you know, him not getting voted into the game. I just think that people don't really look at his career and his numbers. He's an anomaly in the NBA. He really is, because he's a ridiculous talent. His numbers are always insane. But if you look at his career numbers, his stats are really, really just not much to be impressed
by. But we're talking about this year. We're talking about this year.
Yeah, but this year is no different than every other year in terms of if you're a stat person and you're just looking at the stats. The difference is this year is what he's able to do being the only guy on that team. If you take him off that team is worse than Philly last year. And that is why you can say that he's an MVP candidate. It's kind of the same thing as when we talk about it in the NFL with, like, the MVP candidates there. You take Aaron Rodgers off the Packers, they're horrible. You take Tom Brady off the Patriots, we saw what happens. I mean, they're still a very, very good all-around team. But I think that's kind of the case for Russell Westbrook with the MVP thing, is maybe more about what he is to that team and less about the crazy numbers he's putting up.
You mean, like, the fact that he's the most valuable player on, like, a really lousy team, and I mean, I'm still trying to tie this all back into how he, like, how it makes him undeserving to start the All-Star game.
Let me ask you, Katie, when you're talking...
He's not undeserving to start the All-Star game.
I want to make sure I understand your point, though. You're saying maybe his numbers, you know, rebounds and points and all that are up, but if you take away the volume and you just look at percentages based on his career, percentage-wise and his efficiency, it's not where it needs to be, and it's not even where it's been in the past.
No, I mean, I think you're looking at it a little bit too in-depth of what I was saying. I was just trying to point out the fact that if you look at, and this is what basketball is and what sports is in general, people get so wrapped up in people's stats, right? But Russell Westbrook is an anomaly in the sense that his stats have never been good in terms of efficient. But what he's able to do and how good he is in terms of making a difference on his team and the biggest stat that's in his favor is wins, honestly. He makes the team win.
3-point percentage, 2% full beyond what his career stats are. Free throw percentage is up, and every other stat with the exception of field goal percentage. Field goal percentage, 42-3 this year to 43-4 in the past. 30.6 points, 10.6 boards, 10.4 assists. So I don't understand where the efficiency comes in when even his percentages, with the exception of field goal, are up across the board.
I'm talking plainly about his shooting and his volume, right?
So, yeah, well, his volume is up, but I'm saying from three and from free throw, they're up.
Are you trying to say that 32% is a good clip to shoot from beyond the arc?
No, I'm not. I'm saying it's 2% higher than he has in the past.
We played them recently, too, and if you look in, like, the last month, I think he's shooting, like, in the low 20s. Like, it's not been good recently.
All right, well, we'll continue this. I'll put you back on hold because we're way late for a break. When we get back in 3 minutes, the Oakland Raiders have officially filed for relocation. What does that mean? I know we've talked about this in the past, but what's next for the Oakland Raiders? This is Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK.